Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians 5, we're going to read verses 28 through 33. We'll read this passage responsively. Ephesians 5, 28 through 33. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for the word of God. Thank you that it lives. Thank you that it's true. Thank you that it's right and holy, and Lord, that it applies to our lives today. Thank you that it was written before we were born. Thank you that it was written before the foundation of the world. That means that we are in a plan for our life, and I pray that you'd help us to meet it tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated.
When Jesus journeyed here, he traveled far and near, with one main goal to seek and save the lost. Though his followers condemned him so, unto a sinner he would go, still he pressed on this message to bestow. Should we neglect the cost? Should we forget the lost and fail to point the sinner to the cross? And will our labor be in vain if we deny Jesus' name to a world dying in their shame? Should we neglect the cost? Go plow into the field, it has much fruit to yield, but sad to say the laborers are few. Too busy seeking wealth and fame, worldly good, selfish gain, not knowing they will never meet again. Should we neglect the cost? Should we forget the lost and fail to point the sinner to the cross? And will our labor be in vain if we deny Jesus' name to a world dying in their shame? Should we neglect the cost?
One by one they go,
people dying everywhere, who will never know that Jesus really cares? Should we neglect the cost? Should we forget the lost and fail to point the sinner to the cross? And will our labor be in vain if we deny Jesus' name to a world dying in their shame? Should we neglect the cost? Should we neglect the cost? Should we neglect the cost?
Great job. I do not plan to be long this evening. That doesn't mean I'll not change my plans, but Ephesians 5 is a very interesting passage. It's talking about husbands and wives and marriage and different things. I want you to look at verse number 32. There's a little statement there that captured my attention and a truth that I want to give you tonight. The Bible says, this is a great mystery. The word mystery there is not what you think of with Nancy Drew. It's not one of your television 60-minute drama, whatever you call those things, mystery shows. The word there, mystery, we would use in our day another word, the word mystique, privacy. This is a great privacy. There was a day when people had private property. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, no trespassing, private property. It used to be that you didn't walk into the neighbor's yard unless it was up the sidewalk and knocked on their door and said, the ball went through the yard, may I go into your yard and get the ball? Now, everybody just walks through wherever they want to walk through, and if you look at them because it's your property, they curse you out or do other vile things, and they're on your property. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay. Now, people have little no respect for your property. None. A couple months ago, I got up and I was leaving my house like I normally do very early in the morning. And Brother Mike, I got to my truck and something was wrong. Somebody's mailbox was in the back of my truck on the post. And I said, okay, my wife didn't get out drunk last night. I know I didn't get out and go get drunk last night. And I looked at it. I looked down and my neighbor's mailbox was sitting in my truck. Somebody had gone through and vandalized theirs and the neighbor up the street from ours and put one of them in the back of my truck. I took it out, put it over near where it was supposed to go. Later that day, I checked with them, told them what happened, that I did not do it, but I put it back there for them. I thought, how sad. How sad. People just have no respect for other people's property anymore. It used to be that everybody in the neighborhood didn't know what you were doing. Now, everybody knows everything. We live in a generation that posts every movement with either pictures or words on the internet for the world to see. Getting real quiet in here. Y'all were shouting this morning. You're not shouting tonight. The world knows nothing about waiting for anything. Now, I'm not saying that we live in any worse of a day than any other generation. And if you'll listen to me, I think I can help you. But I am saying this, we are losing our freedoms and we're losing our privacy. The more privacy you lose, the more freedom you lose. We either talk about text, social medias, or shoot and send pictures or videos in real life as it happens. Do y'all remember what taking pictures in a camera used to mean? Boys and girls, it used to be you had this little box about that big. You had to put this little roll in it, take a little brown film and pull it over and close it real tight. And advance it far enough to where whatever was exposed would be usable. Usually the first two or three pictures after that were toast. Or it was somebody's finger or somebody's foot or whatever. You used to have to put these little blue bulbs on the top of the camera and it had little four little flashes on it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Used to love to watch those things. You know, it's like, yeah, okay, can't handle that. And then you had to wait till you took the whole roll of film. And then when you finally remembered it was all done and you rolled it back in that thing, then you could take it to the drugstore or someplace and you had to send it away. It usually took about a week to 10 days to get them back. And about half the pictures you took after they developed them didn't come out, but the half that you did get, you know, they were about that square. Most of the time you could see kind of what was going on. Then, if you wanted to share those pictures, you had to get double prints. Boy, you were uptown if you did that. And they give you these little strips of ugly-looking plastic that you'd hold them up to the light, and they were called negatives, and you could kind of see the outline of the picture that you had. And if you wanted to get reprints of those, then you had to pick out which number it was and go through the same process again. That's foreign to us today. Used to be, kid saved and saved and saved and saved to get a camera and some film, took some pictures, and had to save and save and save and save to get the pictures back. Then he realized he spent all his money on something just for a stupid picture. But man, that was something that you waited for. Now we have kids that have better cameras on their phones than professional people used to have anywhere. Now you take the picture as it's taking place and shoot it to somebody, and they've got it in real time. We're losing our privacy. We're losing our freedoms. I'm gonna shoot my wad here, but that's okay. Some of you get mad at me for saying this. I am for obeying the law no matter what, just so you know. I believe in driving the speed limit, not exceeding it either. Okay, I believe in keeping the law. And by the way, I keep laws that I don't agree with too, just so you know. I'm going to give you one of my pet peeves. I think the seatbelt law is a violation of the Constitution, just so you know. Government was instituted to protect your person, your property, and your personal freedoms. And the government should not make laws based on, okay, it's to me no different than the governor of New York or the mayor of New York City saying you won't sell a certain amount of soda pop any larger than 15 ounces. Government has no right to mandate that. A law is to protect your freedom for someone else. My not wearing a seatbelt has no infringement on anybody else's safety but my own. And for the government to say you're not smart enough to protect yourself, it's none of their business. Just like it's none of their business what I put down my throat, as long as it's legal. Now, I disagree with having alcohol. I think it ought to be illegal. Instead of a seatbelt law, let's get rid of the liquor industry and we'll have less people killed. We can save more people's lives by not having alcohol than we could by having seatbelts. Now, I'm for wearing a seatbelt. I'm against the government making me wear it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's an infringement on personal freedom. We've accepted it. We've accepted it. But you don't realize you're losing your freedom by the government mandating it, just like it's unconstitutional, I don't care what the Supreme Court says, for nationalized medicine. Man, is it getting quiet in here. America and our world has lost her privacy. A word that used to mean privacy is the word mystique. Or it has to do with mystery or the privacy about what you do. You know, I remember growing up, we just didn't walk into mom and dad's bedroom anytime we wanted to. You didn't go in there unless you were told to go in there. And if you were told to go in there, you didn't want to go in there. It was an execution chamber. It was not a place of comfort. My dad will probably laugh at this. I was 22 years old. I was a college graduate, had a bachelor's degree. It was the night before I got married. I was about to get married and leave the house forever. Glory to God, amen. No, I hadn't been home in 3 years anyway. I went home to visit. Matter of fact, my mom and dad moved twice while I was in college and never told me where they lived. I remember driving around town. Where do you live? Before cell phones even. I'm not kidding. My mom and dad moved. My mom had to go out in the yard and flag me down because I couldn't find the house. I had never been there. I'm not lying, am I? Now, wait a minute. I was 22 years old, Bible college graduate. I still had a curfew. Boys and girls, that means you were supposed to be in at the house before a certain time. And it was at a decent time, just so you know. I had to be in even then by 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock? Yeah, 11 o'clock. There's nothing wholesome you can do with that past that time anyway. And I was about to get married the next night. I remember walking in. Mom and Dad's bedroom at that time was about a catty corner across the hall from the bathroom. I got 1 foot into the doorway of the bathroom. I hadn't even put it down yet. And I heard my dad say, "Yeah." I said, "Sir." I did a 180. And he starts laughing. He said, "Just wanted to see if you're still listening." "Yes, sir." He said, come on in. I remember sitting down on the edge of their bed that night. We had one of the sweetest talks of my life. Say why? But I didn't go in until I was invited. Now, there's no such thing as privacy. Hang in there. We've made our private life public, and now America has no mystique. Our forefathers understood the need for privacy. The first four of the first 10 amendments to the Constitution in the Bill of Rights have directly to do with our privacy, our personal freedoms, our personal property. John Adams said, the moment the idea is admitted into society that property is not as sacred as the laws of God, anarchy and tyranny commence. Property must be secured or liberty cannot exist. James Madison said, government is instituted to protect property of every sort. This being the end of government, that is not a just government, nor is property secure under it, where the property which a man has is violated by arbitrary seizures of one class for the service of the rest. Folks, that was over 225 years ago. Our forefathers built this country, designed our government based off of biblical principles. I don't care what the liberals say. Today, we live in a world with virtually no privacy. With the rise of email, texting, Facebook, social network, phones with cameras and video, and Skype, what's private anymore? Now, I'm not saying those are bad things. Listen to me tonight. We have a TV media that has more access to the battlefields abroad so that they can ignore what's going on in the streets of America today. We want to complain, and I'm not for what's going on in Egypt, but do you realize there's been more people killed in America during the uprising in Egypt than there has been in the people killed in Egypt? Everybody doing okay? During the Iraq war and the Saudi war, our news media was giving away our positions to our enemies by being on the battlefield. Back in World War II, they used to have town hall meetings on a daily basis, and they would give briefings of who was killed, and you had to go to town to find out. And it usually was about a week or two late. Now, we see it take place. There's no privacy. Everybody doing okay? Everyone's opinion about you is published without the truth being published. You could go ahead and Google my name. This church will pop up, and you'll see things written about us and our church and me that aren't even true, but people will believe it. Just like everybody else in this room. Because nothing's private. I was talking to one of our men. He said, I think my phone got tapped this week, Brother Bush. Told me about an incident. And he's probably right. The government doesn't see anything wrong with monitoring the telephone lines. And by the way, everything you text and everything you do via a cell phone or a landline is monitored by the United States government right now. Our president thinks Mr. Snowden is not a patriot, but I say he is. Maybe he didn't do it the right way, but bless God, at least he exposed something that the American people did not know was going on. I'm not against technology. I just wish America would get back to having some mystique or privacy. It used to be that people even dressed to where there was some mystique. Now, it's whatever little they have to put on to be legal. Everybody doing okay? Okay. Now people show enough skin to leave no mystique and nothing private. Nothing. Let me give you about three or four points here and we'll go to the house. Number one, you can get as close to people as your respect allows. You realize you can get as close to somebody as your respect allows? I really think I can be a close person to you. I like being close to people. But I don't mean this in a wrong way, but if you'll listen to me, the moment you start walking around calling your preacher by his first name, we're going to put some distance there in a hurry. Say why? Because I respect the office of pastor enough to not let you get so close that you lose your respect. I'll keep that distance there if you won't. As long as you keep the respect there, we can keep the closeness there. The moment you pass it, we're going to start putting some distance there. Say why? Because I think there ought to be a respect. Whether I agree with a person in position or not, whether I agree with or disagree with the president, you still respect his position and his office. I probably respect it more than he does. Why do we need... Maybe I ought to read this one down here. Why do we need to post our every movement of life on a social network? Now, if you'll listen to me, if you'd get your face in the book instead of being on Facebook, you wouldn't have time to post as much. Some of you are giving your position to the enemy away. The intelligence community will tell you something. There are predators out there watching Facebook accounts to find out when you're not home so they can rob you blind. You'll post, oh, I got to go to the store. I got to be gone for the next 2 hours. You're a target. They're just waiting for that. Y'all need to use some sense. You say, well, I wasn't talking to everybody. The moment you type it, it's public domain and everybody in the world has access to it. Mamas and daddies, listen to me. Some of you are using this in a way and don't realize what it's doing. Can I tell you something? Live your life. Don't document it for the world to read. How many of you used to, when you were young, have a diary? Y'all know what I'm talking about? And then you got mad when your brother or sister read it? Because that's mine. That's private stuff. Now we've put our diaries out for the whole world to read. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay. Busy, successful people don't care about what your moment-by-moment life is anyway. Folks, don't get mad at me. I don't have a Facebook account. I'm not going to have a Facebook account. Can I tell you why? I'm too busy to do anything with it anyway, and I don't give a rip. I'm too busy doing stuff to worry about writing down what I did. I have the rest of our church year calendar planned. I have 3 years worth, 3.5 years worth of calendar sitting on my desk right now, already working into 2014 and 2015. Why do I need to post what I did today? Y'all doing okay? Okay, hang in there. It's only going to get tougher. Only let people know what they must know so that they can respect you. Do you know you would respect me less if you knew everything I did moment by moment? Not because I'm not busy. But there ought to be a little respect of, okay, what goes on inside that office? It ought to be a holy place. The first Sunday we were here, because we didn't have enough spots set up at that time. We had teen Sunday school in my office, and I'm not against it. But let me say this, we're not going to have Sunday school class in my office unless I'm teaching it, because somebody else doesn't need to stand behind my desk and teach a Sunday school class in my office. I respect the office that much. So I don't like that. I think it ought to be used. Okay, we'll use it, but I'll teach it. Everybody doing okay? I respect the office that much. It used to be that you didn't go behind anybody else's desk without permission. Now, the teacher doesn't have any authority in a classroom. I remember when the teachers used to take you in the hallway and paddle you with the paddle and send a note home through the school that you got paddled at school and then you got beat again when you got home. And mom and dad didn't question it. You just got beat. Then they found out why. Now, if a teacher accuses a child of doing something wrong, they're in a lawsuit. Boy, that's good stuff. Our world has no respect because everybody knows what everybody else is doing. Listen to me very carefully. Point number two. Social networking, Pinterest, etc., are not innocent. You may use it innocently, but it's not innocent. You're good people, and you have good intentions. But not everybody that uses those things have good intentions and are good people. Well, I only have good people on my, what do they call it, my friend list or whatever. I don't know enough about it in the right terminology. Once you're on, people associate with you that you don't even know associate with you. If I got on Facebook, I'm going to use what little terminology I know, and Brother Barnes became my friend on Facebook, everybody that's on his account now has access to my account. Not only that, everybody that has access to everybody that's on his account and all of their friends, and it just keeps going farther and farther and farther and farther. No lie. I'm not going to tell you who. You can come ask me, and I'm going to tell you. I'm not telling you, so don't ask me. But this new thing that's out called Pinterest, I wanted to find out what it was without joining, just so you know. I did not join. But I saw some of our people's names on there, innocently. I think the word is, I hovered over one of their accounts. And without joining, it showed me people and pictures on that account. And there's a lady in here, you don't even know it, but there's full-fledged porn involved in your Pinterest account. Because of somebody that's associated with somebody that's associated that somebody was associated with you. And a good person. And I didn't even join. I just kind of hovered over the account to look. Everybody doing okay? I'm not saying you're a bad person. I'm just saying you don't have any control the moment you start with who associates with you. You think you do, but you don't. It all gets thrown out there into one giant cesspool, and you think you're in a safe spot. And only those that you associate with are. But I hate to tell you, there's little hooks in that thing that just keep on going farther and farther and farther and farther and farther, and that's how the devil gets it. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not saying that you need to cancel all these accounts just because. I just want you to see how deep leading this thing goes that fast. Once it's out there, it's never to be gotten erased. You put one picture of your child on the internet, it's all over the world that fast. And there are people waiting for pictures to immediately hit the internet, and they download automatically and they use them all over the world. You thought you were just sending it to somebody on your account. But everybody in the world has access to it. It used to be a whole lot different. We're losing our privacy. I'm not saying it's wrong for you to... I've sent pictures to people via my phone. I probably will continue to do it. But do you understand what I'm talking about here? Mamas, be careful what pictures you send of your kids through your phone to grandma just because they're taking a bath and you think this is a cute picture. Some pervert in the other part of the country in another part of the world's got it and got it posted all over their country. And if you're not careful, I hate to tell you this, I know a man that's in a legal battle right now because of something just like that, and they want to put him in jail for being a pervert. And it was his own child. They're trying to get him on pornography charges. You got to be careful. You're good people, but there's 6 billion other people out there that aren't. Okay, number three. Realize that the world does not need nor want to know everything you do. Folks, I'm sorry, but not everybody in the church needs to know you're going to the grocery store at this time tomorrow. Why does everybody need to know? We've gotten into this mentality that, well, I got to tell somebody what I'm doing. Why? Just go do it. I think your husband ought to know, or your children, or whoever needs to know, but not everybody in the world needs to know. You don't need to post, oh, I'm at the grocery store and I got this deal. Okay. I don't know about you. I'm too busy to worry about it. Call me, leave me a message. You got 36 of these for $1.98. Okay, great. If I need them, I'll go get them. Why do you need to publish it for the whole world to see? Everybody doing okay? You know, there comes a point in time where you realize in life you're not so important that everybody in the world wants to know everything you're doing. Sorry. You set yourself up for people to steal you blind. I'm going to make this statement. Our country is accepting socialism and communism based on this premise. Do you realize, those of us that are old enough to have gray hair, when we hear the word socialism and we hear the word communism, the hair on the back of our neck stands up and we go, grrr. The generation that does not have gray hair says, what's wrong with it? Because they've been taught that it's okay. It's a good lifestyle. Your grandparents and great-grandparents fought the commies, and now you want to bring them in. Obamacare is socialism. Those of us that have gray hair look at it and say, that's wrong. This is bad. This is against God. This is against our freedom. Okay, moving on. Churches are losing their independence over this. I hate to tell you, we're not going to have a Facebook page for Grace Baptist Church. Well, that's the way you reach the modern generation. No, you reach the modern generation the same way you'll reach the unmodern generation. Door to door, house to house. We've got a web page so people can hear the preaching, and because there's no such thing as a phone book anymore, I understand that. And people now don't look in a phone book for anything, they look online. I've had to come to the reality that's where we're at. But that's as far as it goes, just so you know. We're not going to have a little thing down there with a little blue F in there that says, come follow us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. I'm not a Tweety bird and we're not twitting. Not going to do it. Say why? I'm not getting wrapped up into that garbage. You say, you're old fashioned. Thank you. I'll take that as a compliment. By the way, it's time for parents to let children be children and keep them out of adult life. The average 12-year-old knows more about adulthood than most adults did 30 years ago. Number four, and I'm done. And you'll be glad. There's a danger in a sermon like this. You got those that put everything on display for the world. By the way, we got young people taking pictures of themselves in immoral poses and shooting them all over the place. It's called sexting. Mamas and daddies, you need to take your kids' phones. My opinion, throw them away. But if you let them have one, you ought to know what's going on. Am I doing okay? I'm not kidding. Your kids have enough savvy about themselves, they know how to hide things from you. What pictures are they sending of themselves? Oh, my kid wouldn't do that. Should we ask you what you did when you were a teenager? And you want to trust them? You don't trust me, Mom. You're right. You don't trust me, Dad. You're right. I don't trust me. Why would I trust somebody that's made from me? Don't be so private that you become an isolationist either. That's the danger. I think there's a danger. I believe in moderation. The Bible says, let your moderation be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And I'll define it this way. It's kind of like the pendulum on a grandfather clock. Some are clear over here in the middle of no man's land. And then you got some over here that they're an isolationist. You know, us four, no more. We're not doing anything. We're not going to join a church. We're just going to be our own church within our family. We're not doing anything. And that's wrong too. Okay? I'm not afraid to say that kind of stuff. You've got people that the doctor knows everything. You take a pill to get up. You take a pill to go to bed. You take a pill to go to potty. You take a pill not to go to the potty. You take a pill because your heart won't work. Take a pill because your heart works too much. And you got that over here. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Then you got the side over here that every doctor in the world is evil, wicked, vile, and they're against you, and they're going to attack you, and they're going to kill you. And you drink pond water and drink swamp juice and chew up grass like a cow, and you're okay. Okay? Now, somewhere between the middle of these is right. Okay? You can go from one extreme to the other, just so you know. Don't live believing that all the world and all governments are personally against you. Folks, I don't believe the United States government looked up my name and said, I'm going after him. I'm not that important, and neither are you. Just so you know. I think government started in Genesis chapter 3. God gave government to man, and it didn't happen until after the fall of man. There was no need for government before sin. Government is there so that man is able to protect himself from fellow man. Now, whether you agree with what form it is or not, even communism does that. Now, communism states that only the elite and only the leadership should dictate what everybody else does. And they'll protect you, right? Why do we live in this isolationist thing thinking that, well, I'm not going to do anything? There were some good churches back in the 70s and some good preachers that went haywire. They didn't believe in the government sanctioning anything. So we're not going to pay taxes on our income because churches shouldn't be taxed. So pastor's salary and secretary's salary shouldn't have to pay taxes. And now those guys are rotting in jail for tax evasion. They even believe that you shouldn't get a driver's license because it's a state licensing. And it's state control. So they were driving around with no driver's licenses. Folks, that's stupid. Just so you know, we got to live in this world. And we should follow the rules. Now, whether we agree with all of it or not, there's still some rules we have to follow. Everybody doing okay? By the way, we pay our taxes here. We pay them on time. We pay them ahead. And often we pay more than we should so that we can get it back later. Amen? Can I tell you something? Don't lose hope in mankind. You know, I still believe that men, ladies, are good people. Now, not all of them are worth trusting. But guess what? I haven't lost hope in mankind. Don't let your innocence destroy you or keep you from helping people either. Some of you are going to walk away saying, I'm just not going to help anybody because of all this. Guess what? There's a lost and dying world out there that needs the gospel. Let's take it to them. If we'll take the gospel to them and let the word of God change their life, we won't have as much of this mess. You know, the greatest thing you can do as an American citizen is go soul winning. Put the truth into people, let the truth of God change their life, and they'll go away from this liberal direction we're headed. That's the greatest thing you can do. Mystique. I gotta quit. I'll close with this illustration. While the Jews were in the wilderness traveling, they had a tabernacle. That tabernacle was divided You had an outer courtyard. You had the actual tabernacle itself, and it had two rooms. The outer room was called the holy place, and then there was a little square room in the back part of that called the Holy of Holies, and the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat was the only piece of furniture in there. Do you know that all people could come into the courtyard of the tabernacle? But only the priests, the preachers, the full-time servants were allowed into the holy place. And nobody was allowed into the Holy of Holies. Except one time a year, one man, the high priest. And if he didn't do it exactly the way God said, God killed him. Say, what was it? There was a mystique about that. Mystery. Remember the Philistines came in and they stole the Ark of the Covenant? And they took it and put it in their temple with Dagon, their false god. Kind of like a Buddha. And they woke up the next morning and Dagon, or their little Buddha, was laying face down facing the Ark of the Covenant. They said, somebody came in here and knocked that thing down. Let's pick it back up. They came in the next morning and it was laying face down and its hands and feet were cut off laying in front of the Ark of the Covenant. Say why? Because God was a holy God and he was telling them all. And the Philistines said, there's something powerful about that. Y'all got to get that thing back to the Jews because this God's going to get us. Say, what was that mystique? By the way, that's why I don't think when you dress at home, you ought to be so casual. Can I tell you why some of you have lost the fire between your marriage? Because you run around in your underwear everywhere, sitting there in your sloppy t-shirts. Used to be a day you covered everything up. No mystique. I'm not saying you got to walk around the house with covered from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet all the time. I don't walk around my house dressed in a two-piece suit all the time either with a tie on. But I'm telling you this, I stay covered. My kids have never seen me uncovered. Since my daughter got out of diapers, I haven't seen her legs, just so you know. Say why? She's a young lady, and that's God's temple. And there's a respect there. Y'all doing okay?
Yes, sir.
By the way, that's why she loves me and I love her the right way. Too casual in America today. But the Bush wants to be close to you. But we're going to keep that distance there so that you don't lose your respect. Let me ask you a question. What's the private property like at house? Good night. Used to be you'd go to work and you'd put 8 hours work in for 8 hours pay. Now you got employees that get mad because they didn't get a $5 an hour raise. You know what my daddy told me when I didn't get a raise the first time? He said, you didn't work hard enough. He said, don't you complain to your boss. If you don't like what you, he said, you're the dummy that said yes to the job, not anybody else. He said, you don't like it, go find another job. Don't complain about it to your boss, though. You agreed to it. Everybody doing okay? Yeah. My whole life, I've never asked for a raise, not going to. Don't want one. Say why? I'm happy doing what I'm doing. My boss came down while I was working in a machine shop in Bible College, Brother Mike. I was running three machines, deburring parts, and running a sander at the same time. I was doing the work of three guys on day shift, and I was outproducing them. By my lunch hour, I had outproduced three men for a whole eight-hour shift. He said, Craig, can I talk to you? I said, sure, Stu, but I'm busy. He said, the guy owned the company. Multi-millionaire. I'm running between three machines, running a sander, deburring parts. And he said, stop. I said, I got to produce. He said, I own the company. Stop. I said, all right. I said, what do you want? He said, I want to give you a raise. I said, okay. And I picked up parts. I started deburring parts. He said, you don't care how much it is? I said, no, sir. I said, I came here and this is what I agreed to work for. He said, I'm giving you a dollar an hour raise retroactive 30 days ago. He said, there's only one other man in this shop that works like you. He said, I don't know what you guys are made of, but find me some more. I said, yes, sir. Thank you, sir. And I kept working. He said, did you check your paycheck? Nope. I didn't worry about it. It didn't show up on the next paycheck. It didn't show up on the next paycheck. He came down. He said, did you get your raise yet? I said, oh, no, sir. What? He was mad. He said, how come you didn't tell me? I said, it's no big deal. I agreed to work for this much. If I get it, fine. The secretary came out. He called her back to work 6 hours after she went home. He made her cut me another check and gave it to me that night. He was not a happy boss with her. It was his sister, too. He could do that. I wasn't doing it. Folks, it used to be you just went to work instead of complained about it. Maybe if you quit complaining, God will bless it. No private property in America anymore. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe we need to rethink our homes. Maybe we need to rethink our own personal life. Maybe we need to rethink what we do online. Maybe we just need to pay attention to what's going on around us.